Hey, everybody. Today, we tear down Benjamin Button in space. We find out how expensive it is to build a 24th century wheelchair, and we ask the question, can we just have this episode removed from TNG canon? Stay tuned.
Welcome to the TNG podcast, the number one place in the Alpha Quadrant to geek out about all things Star Trek: The Next Generation. I'm your co-host, Charisse.
Hey, I'm your co-host, Andrea. Charisse, I love that intro so much. Can I just say I geek out every time you say our tagline?
Yes, you can.
You do it so well. I freaking love it. I love it so much.
Thank you. Since we're just doing a love party right now, I love all the hooks that you do at the beginning of our show. Listeners, I hope you guys appreciate the amount of thoughts and creativity that Andrea puts into every single hook at the beginning of every single episode. She does those all on her own, and they're freaking hilarious.
Oh, thank you. I love being just a sarcastic turd. So it works out well.
Yeah, it's like a win-win for everybody.
Yay. All right. So today, okay, so last week we talked about episode 14, which was the binary one. It was, I think, one of the best ones of season one. This week, we've gotten to the peak of the roller coaster, and now we're going to drop precipitously, and our stomachs are going to fly up into our mouths because we're talking about Too Short a Season, which is possibly the worst effing episode ever written by DC Fontana and Michael McCallan, and directed by Rob Bowman. And the stardate is 41309.5. I feel like the wheels have already come off and we're like a minute into our show.
No, no, this is going to be great. Let's keep going. This is going to be better than our review of the episode because the episode is such trash.
It's so garbage.
Please continue.
All right. So the Enterprise brings aboard the elderly Admiral Mark Jameson and his wife, Anne, on request of Karnas, the governor of a planet, Mordan 4. Karnas warns that a dissident terrorist group has taken a Federation ambassador and his staff hostage and demands to speak with the negotiator. As the ship travels to the planet, Jameson becomes stronger and more able to move about on his own and no longer shows the signs of this terminal Iverson's disease that he was known to have had before he beamed on board. So Jameson admits to taking an array of drugs to reverse the aging process over the last 2 years and just took an overdose to prepare himself for these negotiations for no known reason. So he appears younger and younger and full of energy, but has these like crazy pains and things as a result of the overdose. But by the time they reach Mordan 4, he is a young adult. So he just, this is basically Benjamin Button in space.
It's Benjamin Button in space, but with a really sucky storyline. So unlike Benjamin Button, which was actually pretty cool.
It was like a beautiful storyline.
This is the opposite of that. Maybe Benjamin Button was inspired by this garbage of an episode and said, I think we need to do this better. And then I did, because that movie is great.
It's wonderful. You know, I need to rewatch it. It is. I only saw it when it first came out, and I remember.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I remember crying, so I won't be watching it again.
It does have that like magical realism. And this episode has the potential for magical realism. And then somebody just shit all over the bed. And that was this episode. Like somebody shit the bed in this episode. It's, I hate to say that.
You know, so, okay. So we start with seeing this old admiral and he's all like wrinkled and whatever. And I have mixed feelings about the makeup job on this guy.
Yes.
Because the makeup job, I mean, to make someone who's 20 look like they're 85, they had to actually put another layer of skin onto him. If you see it, like his head is like twice the size of Anne's. There's a scene where him and his wife are like side by side. There's a scene where they're side by side in the bathroom and like, you know, talking, and he's like, oh, I have these pains. And she's like, oh, that's wrong. You know, maybe we need to go see the doctor. And he's like, no, no, it's fine. And so you see side by side, like real agedness versus fake agedness. And his head is twice her size because they had to put on basically a whole new head to make it super old. So the plus sides of this makeup job is they've got the neck flaps. They got the saggy eyebrows.
The jowls. Yeah.
And he even does like, you know, he like purses his lips whenever he talks, kind of like how old people do because they have dentures. And so their jawline is different. And so they kind of like hold their mouth in a really weird position. Like he was doing that. Like, so on that, like all that's plus, plus, plus. But then the minus is that that big mask was so bulky and I don't know what material was made out of, but so bulky and inflexible that it didn't move a lot when he talked. You didn't see his emotions. Like the cheeks couldn't move for any of that. So it ended up just looking just fake, like fake plastic,
really bad.
Stuck onto his face.
Yeah.
So it was like a beautiful mask, but not awesome, like as far as functionality.
So I have a little background information about the makeup. The makeup artist, whose name I did not catch, so I'm sorry, guys, but the makeup artist basically only had a week to put this look together.
Wow.
And he was used to working on movies where you have like months to prep and then you have the actor come in and they kind of do like casts of your face or whatever. Mm-hmm. They model it and then do like adjustments. And so this makeup artist only had a week to do it. And at one point, the actor who plays Jameson was sitting in the makeup chair for like 3 hours getting his makeup done. And that's as much time as they had like allotted for him. Mm-hmm. And the other makeup artists basically were like, oh my gosh, we're only halfway done. So it was going to be a 6-hour job. But the makeup artist was like, crap, they're shooting in like 45 minutes and we cannot hold up the entire production three more hours. So they basically just kind of slapped it together. And so the makeup artist had said in an interview, he didn't like how the makeup turned out, mm-hmm. but given like the time constraints mm-hmm. and like, exactly, like you only have a week to do it and then you have to like rush it big time on shooting day. He was like, I thought it turned out pretty well for like the amount of time that I had, mm-hmm. which I agree.
I totally agree. It does look like it was slapped onto his face. And yeah. it also looks like there's just like an incredible amount of detail in that mask. Like if they would have had the time, I think it could have been super epic.
Yeah. Like the sagging eyelids and everything. That was,
the pallor and the skin tone. Like they mm-hmm. put a lot of detail into all these little pieces that just, I mean, yeah. So I think they did a great job considering those constraints. And whatever, yes. I'm not a makeup artist. I can't do anything like that. So whatever they would have put together would have been amazing.
I'm the first person to talk shit about something and also the first person to recognize I also have no idea what I'm talking about because I don't know how to do that. Yeah. Take my words with a grain of salt. Anyway, so Rob Bowman directed this episode and I think this is kind of a little bit of a shit move, but he was like talking smack about the makeup job in this episode, which I think probably not a good move as you're part of the production team to kind of like mm-hmm. crap on somebody else's work, mm-hmm. whatever. You know, he was only 27 years old when he was hired by Star Trek TNG to direct a bunch of episodes. I'm like, what the hell? And wow. he directed Where No One Has Gone Before with the, mm-hmm. the Traveler.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, man, you were young. You're a young gun on set here.
And so, I mean, that could also explain why he was talking crap.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he hadn't learned
that you don't do that. That's how you learn. You learn by doing it and then having people call you on it and then going, whoops, my bad.
Yeah, maybe so. All right, so diving into the episode. So we mm-hmm. see Jameson come aboard and he comes aboard on this wheelchair.
Oh, the wheelchair was great.
Yes.
The future wheelchair. There's a show called Futurama, for those of you who don't know, which was created by the Simpsons people. Mm-hmm. And it's hilarious. And that's the exact wheelchair that they use for their space investigations or whatever. It's that wheelchair. It looks exactly like that. Oh,
they probably took it right off of TNG.
I'm sure they snatched it right off of TNG.
So I read that this wheelchair was such a pain in the ass that when like future characters and in like subsequent episodes needed a wheelchair, they came up with like something much simpler. Do you know how much it cost to build that wheelchair, Cherise?
No, how much?
It cost $10,000.
Oh my gosh. They should have just used a real wheelchair.
Yep. Anne is a devoted wife. She'd push him around. It's fine. Yeah, it cost 10 grand. But because like the wheelchair really did function, like the little doors in the front of the legs like really opened and stuff. It was really cool. So he comes on board. They're talking about this hostage situation. And then they go into the ready room and there's a whole bunch of discussion about the hostages. And Cherise, you totally nailed it in a previous episode. That is a MacGuffin. It's a device that's important to drive the plot forward, but is in itself like unimportant. We never see the hostages. We never see it. This is the MacGuffin. It's unimportant to the viewers, but it drives the plot. But this plot is so dumb anyway.
This episode. So I mentioned the MacGuffin back in the episode called The Battle, where one Ferengi, what do they call themselves?
Damon.
Yes. Damon Bach was trying to get revenge for his dead son against Picard. And we both said, Andrea, we said this episode was like such a throwaway episode. It didn't really show anything except for the fact that Sir Patrick Stewart's acting ability was so stellar. To see him like descend into madness was so fun to watch that we were like, he totally carried that episode. Like the plot, the storyline, whatever, it was all dumb, but his acting was so good. I feel like this is like The Battle without Sir Patrick Stewart. This is what the episode would have looked like 100%. That's what this episode is. There's no one to carry this plot.
You're right. You're right. This is the battle, but without Patrick Stewart. Yeah. Oh my God.
There's
you're right.
There's no one carrying this plot. There's no one who's like, their acting is so good that you're like, okay, I'll keep watching.
This is what the difference a great actor makes. Mm-hmm. If a great actor is in a terrible like storyline, mm-hmm. you don't really notice it.
Yeah.
You really notice when they're absent because it just like, it's a black hole. It's awful.
Yeah. Super painful.
So Jameson, okay. So can we back up for a second? So Jameson is 85 years old, which you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why does he look like he's like 2000 years old?
Compared to Anne. I think it's the makeup job again.
Plus
the Iversons, right? I guess age him.
Yes. Which that's another thing too. So we find out that like something is wrong with him. He's experiencing these waves of pain, but it becomes quickly apparent that like he's starting to age in reverse because he's a lot younger every like 5 minutes along the storyline. But why did he even feel the need to take those drugs? Because Dr. Crusher very clearly says that Iversons affects the body, not the mind. So mm-hmm. it's not like you need to do something to like sharpen your mind for these mm-hmm. negotiations. Your body can be in that super cool wheelchair. Like as long as your mind is sharp, like that's all you need. So
yeah, you know, that's a good point. I didn't think about that because he was all like, I want to be in my prime. I need to be super strong to go into these negotiations. False. You don't need that. But I guess his plan was not to negotiate, right? His plan was to break in the underground tunnels and then rescue the hostages.
Okay.
So I guess it does make sense that he needed to be young and strong for this crazy plan that Picard would have never gone with, except for the fact that he said, I'm an admiral. It's my mission. Mm-hmm. So you have to do it. Mm-hmm. So then Picard was like, okay, fine. So I think that's why he wanted to be young and virile, because he wanted to make, you know, fix the mistakes of his past by going in and, you know, just saving everybody.
Yeah.
But what is so like, it also dumb about all of that is that Picard's like, well, why don't we actually try negotiating? He's like, no, this will never work. We need to go in and grab the hostages. So like, fine, they go down there. And then Data's like, oh, all these caves are totally blocked. And that's like a dead end. And he's like, no, it's this way. I remember from 40 years ago, dude, like they're scanning and the scanners say that wall ends. What is your deal? Yeah. Like, listen to the man, you know,
you know what he's
like, Data's like,
he's a classic boomer. He won't listen to technology.
Two technologies, right?
Yeah.
Because it's Data and it's the freaking tricorders. But I'm like, come on, dude. Like Data's like, Captain, this was like retrofitted or whatever 2 mm-hmm. years ago. Mm-hmm. So yeah, 40 years ago, the tubes connected, but it's been 40 years, buddy. You don't think some things have maybe changed? You don't think that Karnas has maybe thought that you might try this? Oh wait, he did, because now we're in a firefight. And why the F is the captain there? In the middle of a firefight.
Yes,
and he's the only one who doesn't have his phaser out. Like,
the captain and the admiral. So it's like, wait, whose idea was this?
Horrible plan. Horrible plan all around.
This was a terrible plan. So let's back up a little bit before we get to the very end. I feel like you guys just get ready for this to be a really short episode because, mm-hmm. man, we don't even have anything good to say about this.
We're actually almost done.
And then we're going to jump into our review of Benjamin Button, and that'll be much better. All right, so we realize that he has taken this like overdose of this like miracle like reverse aging drug or whatever, mm-hmm. and he said that he negotiated on this planet.
Yeah.
He did some negotiation that saved this planet. So mm-hmm. they basically gave him like two.
Their fountain of youth.
Yes. They basically gave him enough doses of this like miracle drug for two people. And then he takes both doses, basically cutting his wife out. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I did this for us. Like what? Leaving him young and her old? Like, what do you mean you did this for us? That's the most selfish shit I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I was like, you did this for us. Uh-huh. I'm old. And now you're like 15. Doesn't make
any sense. And how young did you really need to be? Like, did you need to be 15 in order to do this? Could you have been 25? Could you have been 30? Like one dose
could have been
plenty.
Like, he could have been like 55 and been fine, or 60.
Yeah, one dose was plenty. And then also in that same scene, she's just like, wait, but you never even asked if I wanted a fountain of youth drug. So you got me another dose. I was thinking about you. You were until you took it. Like you took my dose that you had. So mm-hmm. not only did you not ask me if I wanted the dose, but you got it anyways, but then you took my dose. So whether or not I wanted it, you were making decisions for me, like in my life without any consideration. Like that's a bunch of trash.
Yeah.
That's just was, that was not cool. Yeah, I wrote the same thing in my notes. I was like, dude, not cool. Not cool. That's what I wrote in my notes.
This is the kind of crap that leads to divorce. Okay. Yeah. When you make these.
Although they were going strong for 40 years. So they sure I was like, were. How is this the first time that he's made a decision for your life? I don't.
That's true. That's true. This kind of stuff doesn't just come out of nowhere. But at any rate, yeah, it was incredibly selfish and didn't really make any sense because you're right. He didn't need to be 15. And also because he has a history with Karnas, which I'll get into in a second. Why would you think that Karnas 40 years ago knew you as like a 45-year-old and now you're going to show up as a 15-year-old and he's going to be like, hey, Jameson, what's up? Like, they're not, that doesn't make any sense, which does come up at the end where Karnas mm-hmm. is like, that's not him. Like, this guy's a young guy and I'm dealing with the old guy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Dr. Crusher lets Anne know that Jameson is not stabilizing. So he's dying and he's basically like Benjamin Buttoning just mm-hmm. to death. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly like the movie. So one of the things that I saw like visually a lot in this episode was those like shadow takes.
Yeah.
And they're like, Jameson is trying to hide.
It's completely in the dark, but talking on the comms.
Yes, exactly. And it's super cheesy. It's super duper cheesy. It happens a couple of times, mm-hmm. Which makes me think, why are you sitting in the dark all the time? Like, you're trying to hide your face from others, but you're sitting alone in the dark, which doesn't make any sense.
Like, yeah,
chilling in a dark room waiting for somebody to come in so he can move into the light and like they could see his face. Like, and that de-aging makeup, wow, it's rough. But again, yeah. It's hard to make a 25-year-old actor or however old the actor was.
Look 65.
Yeah, look 65 and then
55.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we find out that Karnas has this grudge against the Admiral. And it's revealed that in the first negotiations 45 years ago, he totally did a whoopsie and supplied weapons to both sides of this argument.
Of this conflict.
Yeah, this conflict. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And he said it was his version of the Prime Directive. He's like, I'll supply.
His interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, I'll give both of you guys weapons and then you guys can figure it out. And then this decision plunged the planet into 4 decades of civil war.
Yep.
So.
Whoops.
Karnas actually has the hostages and is just trying to lure Jameson to the planet to mm-hmm. kill him, I guess.
To kill him, because who doesn't want to shoot an 85-year-old man in the chest? Just like so dumb. It's so dumb. He's in a wheelchair. He can't even move. Like, what's the point of killing him? Just wait a couple days. It just makes no sense.
Oh my God.
It makes no sense.
Just wait a couple days. Like, he's gonna die.
So dumb.
Soon.
It's like, so dumb. Like, again, this is why this plot was so like stupid. I actually have no Andrea, when you reminded me what this episode was about, I had zero recollection whatsoever. And then I was like, maybe it'll come to me when I watch it. I feel like I have never seen this episode before in my life. It is that not memorable that it just wasn't even in, like, I don't remember ever seeing this before. And guess what? After we record this episode, I'm going to forget that this episode ever existed because it's just like, it's just not good.
Well, I'm going to start a petition to just remove this episode from Star Trek canon because I want it to have never existed.
Can we also remove Justice and Code of Honor?
Yeah, let's do that. I mean, Justice and Code of Honor, I think for sure should be removed just because they're so effing racist. But this one should just be removed because it's so bad. It just sucks so bad. Yeah. I give this episode an F-, man. It's so bad. Like, you need to redo the whole grade because you failed all of it. Like, yes, every aspect.
We give this 5 thumbs down because we've got some alien thumbs going on in here too, being like, boo on this. So, okay. So he's trying to get revenge for this 40-year civil war. I thought it was interesting that he said it was his interpretation of the Prime Directive because throughout TNG so many times and throughout Star Trek, actually, aliens will be like, we need your technology, specifically your weapons, so we can destroy our enemies. Like, that's a common thing that comes up.
Yeah.
And they are always like, the captains are always big on like, no, we do not share weapons. We never share weapon technology. We don't know what you're going to do with it. We can't change the balance of power. Like, that's like really definitely interfering. Mm-hmm. And so I do see his logic of him being like, well, I mean, if I just give them weapons and that does change the balance of power, but if everyone gets weapons, then it doesn't.
Yeah.
So I actually do see his logic. And had he not done anything, they probably would have killed the hostages and done civil war anyways. They just would have done them with less advanced weapons.
Yeah.
And they do kind of mention that in the show too, where James, or I think it was Picard who was just, or maybe it was Jameson. I don't remember. Who knows? Who cares?
It was Picard who told Karnas, like, it was your decision to keep the fighting going.
There we go. Yes. I was like, what? Yeah. So that was Picard being like, well, wait a minute, but you could have just not done that. Like, yes, you got the weapons, but it was your decision to use them.
You could get weapons and just bury them and never use them. Like, that's the decision to supply both sides with weapons is not a good decision, in my opinion. Like, I see what right. he's trying to
no,
do.
It's a horrible decision.
He's trying to balance the scales of power. Okay.
He definitely did not negotiate. Like, he forfeit that responsibility 100%. He just said, okay.
Yeah, and he knew it was a bad call because he falsified the records exactly. of what happened, mm-hmm. which is why nobody knew, like, why he wanted to go back to, like, Mordain IV so badly. But yeah, once you get the weapons, you could just, like, throw them in the incinerator and be done with them. Like, you don't have to do 4 decades as Civil
or
War.
Or you could keep them as a threat. I mean, that's what the Cold War is always about, or was about, and what the whole fear of nuclear annihilation is. It's like, you have nuclear weapons, we have nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just kind of like a stalemate where everybody's like, all right, we both got dangerous weapons and we don't want to kill everybody. So let's just agree to not use them.
Yes.
They could have done that as well. Like, you have crazy advanced
standoff.
Weapons. Yeah. We have crazy advanced weapons.
Yeah.
Let's find a different solution.
Exactly. It's a stalemate. It's a standoff. Like, you could leave it at that. And that's, I think that's actually a really good point, where I think Karnas is a freaking overgrown man-child adolescent, because mm-hmm. he's basically not taking any responsibility whatsoever for, like, his role in being basically a warlord and, like, mm-hmm. creating 4 decades of civil war. Like,
what's he mad about? He won.
Yeah.
So why does he have a grudge at all? I don't understand it.
Again, shitty writing. Again, this is just... like,
he would not be the one to, even though he's like, oh, because my family and whatever in the war, but this is the war that you propagated and the war that you won. If you win, you're not going to be the salty, bitter one who has a grudge. It's going to be the loser who has the grudge because they lost and they're going to want to overturn them, you know.
Yeah, you have a reason to be, or something. You have a reason to be upset. No, this is really dumb. So I had this moment where I was like, hello, anybody? Like, at the end, where Karnas meets Jameson, who's really young, and he's dying and he's all sweaty and all that. And Picard finally gets him to, like, he shows him a bunch of pictures aging in reverse. And finally, when Karnas finally, like, believes,
which was,
like,
also so dumb because it was just scenes from the same episode.
I know. It was just, it was still screenshots
that they had, like, photoshopped or whatever the technology was in 1988 onto that screen. And I was like, so they couldn't have just taken, so they didn't think about this ahead of time, because they could have taken a picture of him, like,
Therese, if they had thought of this episode at all, they wouldn't have made this damn thing. It's a train wreck.
It was screenshots from the episode.
Like, yeah, I know. Like, promo shots. Like, it was really bad. So he sees
these really compelling pictures of this man de-aging.
And then he finally goes, it is you. And then there's, like,
and pulls his gun.
Yes, there's, like, a 25-second shot of him going, it is you, running to the back wall of the room, grabbing a phaser rifle, like, off the wall and pointing it at Jameson. And then he finally, on his own, goes, no, it's better to just watch you die, like, because he's suffering. So it's better to watch you die.
Right, because I think he points it at Jameson while he's on the ground writhing in pain, right?
Yes.
So he's
kind
of, like, standing man-to-man, eye-to-eye.
And I went, hello, where is Starfleet in this? Where you guys are just standing there like a bunch of idiots, like, watching this guy, like, run all the way to the back wall and grab a phaser rifle and then run all the way back forward and point it at him. And nobody says boo. Okay.
I mean, and we didn't, where's Yar at? Like, we didn't bring her on this very important mission. It's just Jameson and the doctor and Picard, because Picard's trying to negotiate, because that's his thing. The doctor's there because Jameson's going to die any second and she needs to, quote unquote, monitor him. She's just going to watch him die. She can't do anything. She's not giving him pain meds.
She
did
say there's nothing I can give you. Yeah.
So there's no reason for her to even be there, because she can't help besides looking at him and going, like, oh
yeah, I know. Yes. So, like, and let's be really clear about this. Karnas has already sort of dropped the veil and said that he has the hostages. They've already had
a warlord who has hostages.
They've already
he's
had
dangerous.
They've already had a firefight down on the planet, had to beam out. So yeah, where is Yar?
Where is Yar? Where is Worf? Or Wesley, at least. Where's Wesley? No one wanted him to beam down with a phaser and protect the captain. Where's Will? And then, you know, as he's holding the weapon on him and he's all like, no, I'm just going to watch you suffer instead. Then they're like, let's have Anne beam down, you know, because he's going to die. And they want him to be able to say, you know, her to be able to say goodbye to her husband, which was thoughtful. But however, again, warlord, hostages, active phaser. Don't have Anne beam down. Have Yar beam down and be like, yo, put all weapons down. And then, or beam. I mean, it just was
beam,
like,
everybody back up. You're fine. Just, yeah, no, it was dumb. It was dumb. So Jameson dies in Annie's arms. Anne or Annie, whatever. Anne. It doesn't even matter. Anne. Okay. Number one, she was written so poorly. The entire episode was her going, oh my God, you look so much younger. What's going on? And then 5 minutes later being like, whoa, you look so much younger. What's going on? And then 10 minutes after that, why do you look so young? Mark, what's going on? Like, you know what this is? It's the battle all over again with the Ferengi and the wheel. It's like you're setting it to level 10 and then level 10 again and then level 10 again. Come on. I mean, the first time you look a lot younger, I'd be like, okay, I think there's something you need to tell me. Because what the fuck is going on? Yeah, no, but like every, it's like she has
like. Yeah, because the first time she was like, you look a little bit younger. And he was like, it's the new therapy I'm doing. It's really working for me. And he's like walking around. She's like, oh, you're walking. This is wonderful. Wait a minute. So you didn't know the symptoms of Iverson's disease was that he will never walk again? No one explained that to you like 4 years ago when he was wheelchair bound? Because if that had happened right now, you shouldn't be like, wow, you're whooping walking.
You'd be like,
you
what's
be
happening?
Like, what the heck? Yeah. How in the world are you walking?
Yep.
Like you, there should have been some more questions going on there.
Well,
yeah, just,
you know,
I don't know.
Get back into your $10,000 wheelchair. Cause I paid for this and you're going to use it. Okay.
Right. Oh my goodness. I just watched a show last night that was just like that. We'll have to talk about it off camera about get back on your wheelchair. Cause I paid for it. But anyways.
Oh boy. Okay. Anyways. So here's the thing. Now we're at the very end and Jameson dies in Annie's arms and he has this little sweet moment with her and he dies. And then Karnas, because he's such a well thought out and well written character, immediately gives him like a eulogy. And he's like, his time is over and it's time for him to rest. And I guess me too, or some crap like that.
Yeah.
And I went,
rest well, my friend.
Yes, yes. And I went, cut the bullshit, Karnas. Like, you just took a bunch of hostages, lured this guy down here, had your troops try to kill him 5 minutes ago. And then you just tried to kill him yourself in person. But now all of a sudden, like, you see him as an equal, like, and I understand that, like, rivals can be equals. Right. Like, there have been people that I've thoroughly disliked in my life, but also, like, respect that, yeah, like, they stand for what they stand for, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they stand for their beliefs. And you know what? I may not agree with those beliefs, but I respect that, like, you're kind of, like, an adult about it. Mm-hmm. But this is not what this was. That's not, let's not even add any more frosting to this cake because that's not what this was. Mm-hmm. It was just rubbish. So Karnas just goes, okay, I'm going to free the hostages and I'm going to cooperate with the Federation.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And then here's the last little part. Jameson is buried on Mordan 4 as per his wife's request. Why? You started a civil war there that killed millions. The effing chief just tried to kill you. You've had this like adversarial relationship with him your entire life, and now you're going to be buried on this planet? No.
There are so many loose threads in this episode that made a really crappy rug of an episode where you're just like, let's just, let's toss it, let's burn it. We don't need to use it, but whatever, they had an episode that they needed to shoot and film and record, whatever. So then we get to the end where they're on the bridge and then we get another of one of my favorites, I'm being sarcastic, a moral of the story.
Oh,
what's the quest
there?
For youth is so futile. Yes, there's this whole thing between Picard and Riker of, well, we shouldn't just look for youth. There's more to life and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, sure is. Let's head to our next adventure, Warp 3 or whatever. And I'm just like, why are they ending these episodes this way? I hate this.
I missed that because I think I was pouring myself a scotch. Out of here. You know what? Let me get out of bed and let me, last night when I was watching this, I was like, I'm sure I've seen the bulk of it. It's fine. Like, I skipped the last, like, 2 minutes. I was like, he's dead. They're burying him on Mordan 4. All right, I'm out of here. Yeah. Let me go look for a snack.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
It was terrible. It was terrible. It was awful. My last note that I wrote is, this episode is shit, period.
Well, I think that says it all. No need to add anything more. I think we're good.
So next week, we're talking about season 1, episode 16, When the Bow Breaks. I love that we got to just dump on a really bad episode together. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually want to hear from anybody out there who might have a different opinion. Like, if you watch this episode and you really love it, or maybe you didn't really love it, but you can find some like redeeming qualities, email us info@thetngpodcast.com. I absolutely want to hear from you.
Yeah, because we can't think of anybody who would say that. So please prove us wrong.
All right. We will see you guys next week. Thanks for hanging with us.
Bye. Thanks for geeking out with us. Be sure to join the crew at thetngpodcast.com to be the first to know when we do our live shows or host events exclusively for our members. We'll see you next time.